back to another episode of the Truth and Transparency Podcast with your host, Brother X, and
your girl, the culture scientist.
You're supposed to say period after that, like we rehearsed it. Huh? And here on the Truth and Transparency Podcast, we talk openly, honestly about everything in between, why the culture scientists can't say period right, why people can't act right in 2022, and why people need to stay off of ATVs at cookouts. If you know, you know. And here we want to thank, first and foremost, all of the listeners who have supported us. We have reached over 2,500 plays across all podcasting platforms. Just shout out to all that. Insert other air horns. I think the last one of the season right there. I told you we have a small budget. Small but mine. We're a small black business. But yes, we want to just thank you guys for all the support. Definitely always continue to check us out. Shout out to the Chaotic Culture Podcast. Shout out to Anna Amazement. Thank you to Amy Dangerous for having myself and the culture scientists and Cousin Simba and Lady Ray on for an interview for about Black Nerds. I'm working on some. We might be able to get that out to you. We'll see. I got to talk to Mr. Smith. I got to give him some imaginary overtime for it. But just be on the lookout for that at some point. It was a really dope conversation. We're probably going to have a part two of it at some point or another. But yeah, definitely shout out to them. If you were at Animazement, you probably saw me there on Saturday, but really dope time. Shout out to all the Black Nerds. Without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce our guest. This man is the soon be removed Lemon Pepper Stepper himself, Mr. Taz Craig. Introduce yourself.
What's going on? Taz here. Appreciate y'all. Happy to be out here with y'all.
We had to get a villain in here. Then we got the shortest villain on this show. She steals every step so it'll make everybody uncomfortable. Queen C, introduce yourself. That's all I got.
I mean, I embrace it. It is what it is. Anyway, your girl Queen C back again, 61 and a half inches of fluff and fun. And all I got to say is.
Do you have to do that with a megaphone so people hear you?
Wow.
I love you though.
I will say my voice is bigger than my breast.
I like turtles.
That is wow. See, wow. you got the culture scientist saying that. That ain't even me.
Yeah. I had to throw one in there. All right. I'm done. Say, good one
though. Respect. You and Metro Boomin cousins. We're not gonna talk about that either. Then we got Mr. Smith back from the Blue Sea Crab Festival, where he ate his weight in white and blue crab himself. His do-rag still smells of Old Bay. Mr. Smith, introduce yourself.
That Old Bay was delicious and the crabs were sensational. Anywho, it's your favorite fan, Mr. Smith, also known as the Soundbite Poppy, also known as Mr.
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
And I want to thank all the listeners for the comments, the plays, the subscriptions. Keep feeding us and we'll keep feeding y'all. Don't really have much. Keep protecting your mental. And we're going to make sure that we keep this a very easy episode this week. But that issue in Texas, y'all sit outside for almost 60 minutes with them babies. Oh, now all y'all got to catch these hands. All y'all got to catch these hands, especially the commissioner. All of them got to catch these hands.
Like, but everybody got to get fired.
Everybody just scorch. What we say, Dr. Emmon treatment, scorch the freaking earth.
Yes, but that's all. Very much so. But yeah, man, just shout out to all our guests. Thank you for coming on for this episode. We're about to get real villainous in this episode. But first, you know, we got to go. You gotta get that sports drop. Mr. Smith, cue the uncopyrighted music.
Y'all ready for this?
Okay. So, just a few things for this week. Game 7, which was this past weekend, was a doozy. And as I said in the last episode, Boston and Miami was a dogfight, and rightfully so. That game went down to the wire, and a lot of people were kind of iffy about Jimmy Butler's last shot. I get it for him, because if you actually think about it, the man played every freaking minute of that game, and he's like, I'm not trying to go overtime. I'm trying to be done with this game in regulation, you know, all of that. So I'm not mad at it. You know, Boston ended up winning, and they're now going to the finals to play, as I stated, Brother X's Golden State Warriors.
Talk about it.
Run
from it, hide from it, deny it no longer. Where did that bring you? Back to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, as soon as Clay came back, I already knew, like, y'all are going to be a force to be reckoned with. And so for this series, I don't know. I'm torn. A lot of people are just going to say straight up the Warriors are going to win, like, off rip. I'm like, I want to say it, but Celtics defense is scary, like, very scary. So all it takes is two off nights is really all it takes. But my prediction, Warriors and six. That is my prediction.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Warriors and six. Going into boxing, my hometown hero, Gervonta Tank Davis, went up against Romero this past weekend. And I need people to understand from a boxing perspective, if you know that this dude got dynamite in his hands, why do you keep pressing him? That's like pressing Mike Tyson. You know what's going to happen after that. Like,
we watched that already happen.
I mean, so it's like, but you know, so like Romero was, you know, they were going back and forth. Romero attacked him a couple times. And then towards the end of the sixth round, he started pressing them. And all Tank was waiting for was that one counter punch. And listeners, if you see that punch, he flushed him in his chin. And that boy went, that boy had no legs, no nothing. And the crazy part was, at the end of the fight, he said, I didn't even hit him that hard. When you say you don't hit him that hard, that's when you know that's a problem. That is a problem. He didn't even hit you with his dominant hand, and he didn't hit you that hard, and you wobbly. So I'll be interested to see where Gervonta Davis goes from here. I will say the announcer that, or the I guess the broadcaster that was interviewing him, when he asked him, you know, who do you want to see next? And Gervonta said, you know, it doesn't really matter. Anybody can get it. This Glock has no safety, and I have unlimited ammunition. And the guy was like, yeah, let's not talk about guns. It's a sensitive subject. Bam. We everybody know he's talking about his hands. We all know he's talking about his hands. His hands, a boxer's hands are registered weapons. We all know it. You ain't had to do that. You just killed the whole vibe. But that's neither here nor there. And then finally, a little bit of baseball news, because it's rare that we do baseball in here, but there was a baseball player named Tommy Pham. And before a game, Tommy Pham walked up to another player called Jock Peterson and slapped the hell out of him. You might be asking yourself, Mr. Smith, why did he slap another player on the baseball field? Well, I'm going to tell you. Apparently, both of them are in a fantasy football league. And Tommy Pham accused Jock Peterson of cheating and said, basically, when I see you, it's on site. Now, of course, here at the Truth and Transparency podcast, we did a little more research. And Tommy Pham accused Jock Peterson of cheating by stashing players. Now, the issue with that statement is Jock Peterson put somebody who was injured on injured reserve and then picked somebody else up. Tommy Pham did that in a whole nother league and put somebody on injured reserve. So basically, how are you going to make a video about pissing on somebody? Nigga, how the fuck are you going to make a video about pissing on somebody? Like, that's what this was. Like, how are you going to slap somebody for doing the exact same thing you just did? And then you get suspended. And it's over a fantasy football dispute. But not only that, Negro, I'm trying to understand. I mean, I know baseball players make money, but a $10,000 buy-in on that fantasy football league?
Sheesh.
That's a lot of money.
It listeners, if any of y'all have Floyd Mayweather type money, if you want to, you know, give us donations, or just send it, you know, just send it to the page, or Mr. Smith, you know, we'll gladly take that. You know, we could try to flip it, you know, turn 500 to 5,000, but that's either here nor there. But outside of that, that's all for Mr. Smith Sports Center.
I about to say, we'll get back to flipping some money later. But yes, thank you, Mr. Smith, for that. Now we come to our favorite segment where we let the, yes, Quincy, you had a quick question?
No, I feel like Mr. Smith missed a great opportunity for a pun. Come on, fam.
Wow.
You missed it. I just
That's fine. I'll take that. By the way, it's already happened, but you're definitely getting the drums. But yeah, that just let you know.
But I'll say, by the time you guys hear this, this would have already happened. Mm-hmm. We're not even hearing this part of the conversation. All right, so before we move on to our next part, we want to make sure that we let Brother X do his streaming. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. We're going to have the Coach of Scientists talking about what she's streaming this week. Coach of Scientists, what do you have for us this week?
So I finally started rewatching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
How do you spell that?
Marvelous
Mrs.
Mm-hmm. Maisel.
How do you spell that?
And the show comes on Amazon Prime.
Wow.
And I finally finished watching it. I'm so happy. And basically, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is an American period comedy drama television series. And it's premiered in March 17th, 2017 on Amazon Prime. And basically, the reason why I like it, or what it's about essentially, is it's set in the late 1950s and early 1960s, where Miriam Midge Maisel, a New Yorker housewife who discovers she has a knack for stand-up comedy and pursues a career in it. During this, it just follows her journey, and really it was her husband's original dream, and it just goes down this goal of why is she doing this and that. And so it's very funny, and it's really good, because what I like about it is it shows like the struggles of what comedy probably was back then, mm-hmm. and what it was for women as well. It was a little bit worse for women. So with a little bit of humor, you get a little frustrated, you feel for her. Oh, and one of the, her father is the man who played Monk. And so I'm happy. So he's great. It's a whole different version of character of him. Just think of like a more not scary, scared of the world version man of Monk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's her father. And he's hilarious on the show.
That's what's up.
And her parents refuse to accept the fact she is a comedian. Mm-hmm. It's like this, oh, she does this little joke thing. That's what they say.
That's wow. Definitely check it out, man. And where'd you say they could stream it again?
On Amazon Prime.
So definitely check that out. I can't even spell what the word is, so you have to look it up on Google. But yeah, check it out.
Maisel. M-A-I-S-E-L.
So you couldn't do that earlier and just put myself out there like that? Mm-hmm. Wow. I thought we was on the same team.
We are.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow. Okay. Now, we're also going to move on to our next segment, which is Now Mind You. And Now Mind You is just a part of the Black vernacular that we use to explain a very key or vital point in the story that we want to make sure you are paying attention to. This week, we got a 3-4 for you. But first, we actually have an update. Coach of Scientists, would you like to read the update?
Southwest Airlines passenger who masturbated on the flight, sent to federal prison for 48 days, where you can masturbate all the time.
Emotional damage.
Wow.
Sorry, that last part was me. The Southwest Airlines passenger that masturbated during the flight will spend a little over a month behind bars for the repulsive act. Antonio Sherrod McGarity, made headlines when he pleasured himself during the April 2nd flight from Washington to Arizona. The 34-year-old man, exposed his genitals and masturbated not once, not twice, but four times while the flight was in air. The passenger seated next to McGarity notified a flight attendant and was moved to a different seat. Not after she watched him do it four times, people. She snapped photos, again, after four times, of McGarity in the act of and suspected him of ejaculating after witnessing him lick a white substance from his fingers. The flight attendant contacted Phoenix Police and Federal Bureau of Investigation. When the flight landed, McGarity was taken into custody. During the interview with authorities, McGarity said that he thought he was kind of kinky, that he was able to jerk off while this woman next to him didn't appear bothered during the deed. McGarity is no stranger to this type of behavior, having previously been charged locally and at the state level for lewd conduct. Last week, McGarity pleaded guilty with a smile on his face, probably, to a charge of indecent or obscene acts. Obscene acts while on an aircraft. He was sentenced to 48 days in federal prison and 1 year of probation. He initially faced 90 days in prison. While on probation, McGarity is banned from flying commercially in the United States. Southwest has banned him for life. So question, two things.
Yes.
Number one. Mm-hmm. So in general, he is not allowed to fly commercially. So he's officially one of those cool, those cool criminals who have to figure out ways to fly around the world, just saying.
Yeah, to hire a private jet property.
Yeah. Secondly.
Yes.
So Southwest, thank you. I like Southwest. Southwest said, nah, bruh, never again.
Dog, if I just see that name for some reason on my flight, nigga, I'm traumatized. Never again.
48 days, I guess, is enough. But my question is, okay, so you're on probation. Technically, were there no children on this plane? Because to me, you are a sexual offender, technically. Like, you are a multiple offender. Mm-hmm. So now you are now a sexual offender in my book.
Okay.
Because who are, you know, children on the plane? You don't know if they're going to the bathroom.
Go ahead, Quincy.
I just want
to... Why must you say that? go ahead, Quincy.
I just want to know if he got to keep his retirement.
Wow.
But really? I will say at least he got more days in lockup than Officer Motorboat, so we're getting somewhere.
You're not wrong. I just have one question. Since he will be on probation for a year, typically when you are on probation for a crime, in order to break your probation, one of the things that you can do is commit that crime again, correct?
Yep.
So if this man masturbates at any given time, he technically could break probation, right?
If it's not in his house, yeah.
I mean, technically, like, what is his house? We don't know where he lives. Nobody knows.
This is true. This is true.
He could be homeless living in a park. Then what happens?
Ain't no way. He had enough money to buy a plane ticket? He's done this multiple times? Nah.
I'm just saying, hypothetically speaking...
So he's done it multiple times and he's gotten away with it multiple times.
No, he's gotten charged multiple times.
But still, he's technically gotten away with it multiple times.
Like, when it happens on the local level and then the state level, like, why? Like, is someone not alerted? Like, what are we doing? Mr. Smith, you had something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, you know this motherfucker white. Because ain't no way. Ain't no way, bruh. Ain't no way.
His middle name is Sherrod. I don't know.
No. If you're telling me that this motherfucker was able to masturbate on a plane and initially faced 90 days and they only gave him half of the sentence, as well as he was on probation for a year, he white. There ain't no way you get that. If it was, okay, put it this way. If it was a black person and they masturbated on the flight, don't you think they would have gave him 10 years minimum?
I don't know.
Depends it might consider it assault because it might poke somebody's eye out.
Wow.
I would like to submit evidence to the court that indeed the man is white.
Oh yeah, I knew that. I called it. Ain't no way.
That is the mugshot.
Wow. Just wow.
Oh, that's still a black ass name for the record.
Oh, absolutely. It most definitely is. But the fact that he got half the charge or half the time and only got a year of probation, and they only banned him from flying commercially only on probation. Nah, he white. He was white. That's all.
I was just going to say, I guess the moral of the story is you can beat off, but you can't beat justice.
Stop it. Get some help.
Nigga!
Good job, Taz. Good job, Taz. Right. He is in rare form tonight, listeners. Yes, yes.
Woo! Oh, boy. Oh, God, I'm lightheaded. So, speaking of being lightheaded, we go to our favorite city, the city of Detroit, where we have a very interesting story. Mr. Smith, can you pull up the audio clip?
Hey, hold up
wait a minute.
No, not chips or a candy bar. That comes after what you get out of this vending machine.
I used it probably like 4 or 5 times.
The voice of an anonymous customer and the one who took this viral video of how the marijuana vending machine works.
He was selling like souvenirs.
That's code, obviously. Machine took credit cards, even Apple Pay.
It's an excellent service. I think that it just got out of hand.
It's just things you can't do.
That video there says it all. The feds, the ATF, they've seen it all. But a marijuana vending machine bolted to the side of someone's house on the west side of Detroit, that's a new one.
Yeah, I have to say the brazenness of it was shocking.
Before this mugshot, 43-year-old Marcellus Cornwell was raking it in.
Well, we were hearing the estimates were about $2,000 a day.
Allegedly operating for 4 years.
Entrepreneurial at its best. Unfortunately, both things were illegal.
The buck the ATF is referring to, Cornwell being investigated for selling guns out of this house off Metatol Street, possibly to minors. 18 firearms seized from the home, including a sawed-off shotgun.
As far as where these firearms originated from and the crimes they might have been a part of, we're still looking into that.
Business being too good, Cornwell's downfall.
Look, you do this stuff inside a neighborhood, people are going to take notice and they're going to get mad.
He's racking up a new felony charge on top of 6 other prior felony convictions. Reporting on Detroit's West Side, Jessica Dupnack, Fox 2 News.
Detroit, when I think there are so many ways that you can get on the news, you up there with Florida in top 5 states, but just wow. A for ingenuity and creativity and entrepreneurship, just like phenomenal. But dog, if that don't look like the jankiest ATM vending machine I have ever seen in my life, my man probably sat on the other side of, behind his window for that shit.
I'm not even mad at it.
You're not mad at it?
I'm mad at the goods part, but like, he found a creative way to sell weed. It's basically going that way. They're just mad because they can't tax him on it.
That's very true.
That's truly the problem. Mm-hmm. And now that it's becoming legal, basically,
yes,
slowly but surely, because even North Carolina is slowly on the wave, they're just like, oh, dang, he did it before we could do it. That's all that is.
That's just a lot. Mr. Smith?
So, as the culture scientist said, number one, way to be creative, because they can never get you on video doing a hand-to-hand transaction. But number two, I listeners, let's do a little math here, okay? So they said in the story that he was making $2,000 a day. Okay, so if we break out our TI-83 calculators, yes, I went all the way back there, and do $2,000 a day times 365 days, that's $730,000 a year. Now, let's also remember, he didn't get caught for 4 years. So that's $2.9 million this man made. That's insane. But again, the biggest thing is, even number one, guns, nah, you messed up on that, homie. And then number two, even if he went legit, do you understand that even if he would have did Uncle Sam and gave Uncle Sam his cut, you're talking $1.1 million. Bruh. This man could have bought a mega mansion in Detroit.
He might be able to buy the Detroit Pistons.
I mean, but does he want to?
I mean, you never know, man. You got a little disposable income.
Nope, I'm going to keep my comment to myself. Continue.
Queen C, you got something?
Yeah, one, I'm going to piggyback off what everybody said. This is some creative shit. And the vending machine was touchscreen. So, I mean, it took more payments than a normal vending machine. It took credit card, debit card, Apple Pay, like, that's some creative shit. And also, when they showed his mugshot, Mr. Smith, you're going to have to bleep this part out. But he looked just like...
Wow.
Who, ironically enough, just got out of jail for a kingpin charge.
Wow.
So bleep all that shit.
All right. my question is, if you're paying with all these different ways, there's definitely a paper trail that to get other people. And for all we know, even minors have Apple phones, so they could actually technically do that as well. So you could be selling to a minor. So yeah, I mean, he has the face of somebody who's like, yeah, I did it. It's about time you caught me. I was like, I was getting bored at this point.
That's what it looked like.
It's like, y'all just now catching me, dog. You know all the other stuff you could have got me for? Really? Why don't you tell us? Well, you could have got me for this, this, and this. I bet. And now he's got the mugshot.
Hit his ass like Young Thug with the RICO charges.
Dog.
Well, you never know. He could pull an OJ Simpson and be like, yeah, you got me, but did you get me for this? What if I did this?
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, listeners, I don't know if you are big readers, but some people, sometimes opposed to scientists, enjoys a good romance novel. There is a romance novelist who penned How to Murder Your Husband, and she was also, what was she, opposed to scientists?
Found guilty of murdering her husband.
Can you please read what it says right there?
Which way? Right there?
Yes.
A jury in Portland found a self-published romance novelist guilty of fatally shooting her husband 4 years ago after writing an essay titled How to Murder Your Husband. Hashtag Nancy Crampton Brophy?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
I mean, why? Never mind. 71.
You know why.
71 was found guilty of second degree murder by a jury after deliberating for 2 days because they were like, was she old though? But like, but she did it though. But she old though. That's what they were doing.
Pretty much.
In the death of.
They were also trying to figure out where her chin was.
Shut up. In the death of Chief. Oh, no, sorry. I can't read. Of Chef Daniel Brophy, according to. Coin TV.
There you go.
Brophy, 63, was killed at an Oregon Culinary Institute in Southwest Portland on June 2nd, 2018. In the crowded county courthouse on Wednesday, Crampton Brophy showed no apparent reaction. Okay. one of Crampton Brophy's attorneys, Lisa Maxfield, said the defense team intends to appeal. Why? She seems to have no reaction. Crampton Brophy was allegedly motivated by money troubles and life insurance policies, according to prosecutors. During the trial, Crampton claimed that she had no reason to kill her husband and that their financial issues had been remedied by cashing in a portion of Brophy's retirement savings fund. According to the court documents and testimony, she owned the same make and model of the gun used to murder her husband and was observed driving to and from the Culinary Institute on surveillance footage. Maybe to go visit her husband, maybe? Prosecutors say the gun used to kill Brophy was never discovered, claiming that Crampton Brophy swapped out the barrel of the gun used in the shooting and then dumped it. The gun pieces served as inspiration for Crampton Brophy's writing, according to a defense attorney, who also indicated that Brophy was killed during a botched robbery. To read the rest, log on to balleralert.com. Clickable link in profile. So, okay.
Bruh.
Did she just pull a...
So we're not going to talk about that?
What, I just read that
one? Yes, we're just not going to talk about that at all.
Right there.
Real life Ron Burgundy.
Like, my nigga, why?
I know what I was doing.
The dot is to tell you to stop.
I know why. I did it on purpose.
Oh my God. But yes, what are your questions?
So she's a real life
yes.
OJ.
Yes. But she didn't get away with it.
Secondly.
Yes.
Just because she wrote about it didn't mean she did it. She probably did it.
Now, you look at the eyes right there.
Hey, looks like she want to speak to the manager. And writes a book. I'm coming for her. I'm just saying.
Hey, first off, I do plan on writing a book, but why would I say
I don't know. I don't like how that's being phrased. Objection.
Okay.
Context.
First off, I have more common sense than some of these people. Come on.
Objection, I fear for my life. So first and foremost, I just need to get these jokes off. Why are they both look built like white putty? Why are they built like flubber? Why are they built like they ain't got no chins?
They look like South Park characters.
Why does it look like they face ripples when they talk? They don't. That's how they sound in court.
They look like a like gentrified version of the Clumps.
See, in a long time. Like, they chins built like the upside down W.
Yeah, she did it. She got committed eyes, though.
Oh, yeah, very much so.
He got the I deserved it eyes. He was not a good husband.
Like, I'm not saying, but if she did it, which she probably did, I'm sure he probably did something. Like, you know, I've had enough of your shit. All right.
You know, the whole time Culture Scientist was reading, all I could think was, this would be a bomb ass Lifetime movie.
I was thinking that too.
I'm sure there is one. Guaranteed.
Probably.
And call it Blood in the Pen. There you go.
Lifetime, if you want to go ahead and sponsor the Truth and Transparency podcast, we will take all donations. We have a whole team of writers. When I say a whole team of writers, just talking about me and my guests. We try to get paid. Paid. All right. So yeah, that's Mr. Smith. Yes.
I'ma just say it though. We get the jokes off, but I gotta give it to her. They said that she was allegedly motivated by money troubles and a life insurance policy. And then she said she had no reason to kill her husband and that the financial issues have been remedied by cashing in a portion of Brophy's retirement savings plans. That don't mean that you ain't broke. And I'm pretty sure she looked at the chef like, oh, I can get this much money instead of his retirement if I off him. Mm. And then again, they caught you in 4K going the day of the murder to and from. And the gun, make and model, matched the shit at the scene of the crime. But above all else, Merle from Courage the Cowardly Dog, why you had to kill you? Why you had to kill Eustace, man? Why? Why?
Muriel!
Why?
I got the Twinkie!
Courage words.
Exactly who do you look like?
Oh my God!
Hey, look, back to the OJ reference. She probably only got rid of the gloves and that's it.
Why Tazwell? Why? What are you? Do you have no coof tonight?
No, not at all. Not one.
Never.
Bit. Oh man, but yeah, man. Those are just some of the stories that we have from now. Mind you, we're actually going to switch lanes and actually talk about our Black business highlight this week. So for our Black business highlight this week, we have Zippy and her print office. She is a comic book and artist design self-published company. She is a black woman-owned company. She has some really awesome design prints. She does different things ranging from real life caricatures as well as anime and a lot of queer and LGBTQ plus community. I apologize if I missed one that the letters, but with it being the month of Pride Month, I want to make sure that we shout out an artist. Shout out to the redheaded assassin, Kelsey. He'll be on a future episode this month. But yeah, just shout out to her. I was actually able to pick up one of her pieces this past weekend at Animazement for the Culture Scientist, which she loves.
It's a great picture. It's now in my closet. My closet is like a throwback, mm-hmm. the wall to my high school part.
Yeah, it gave big energy when I saw it. So we want to make sure that you just kind of check that out, man. She has a link on her bio. Her Instagram page is Zippy. So it's Zeppie on Instagram. You can check it out there. She has a link in her bio where you can check out all of her commissions as well. So definitely check her out and support her. She also has a Twitter and a Tumblr, which I didn't realize Tumblr has a page or still a thing.
Yes.
That's what's up. And she also apparently has a body pillow shop, which is really dope for those who are interested in that. So with that being said, guys, we're actually going to get into this week. You know, we talk about being positive people and positive energy, but sometimes we got to get rude, nasty, evil, and villainous. So this week, we're actually going to talk about favorite or best TV and movie villains. Wow. Insert evil laugh here. All right. So this week we're actually going to talk about what do we think makes a good villain? What are some notable villains? And then we're going to kind of go around and share some of our favorite or most memorable villains that we've seen in the recent history. First and foremost, does anybody want to explain what they think a good villain is? Taz?
I think a good villain is somebody who is properly developed as far as like the character. You don't just hate them. Like, you learn to hate them more with like each episode or engagement. At least that's one side. Another good villain could be like an antagonist that guides the protagonist. So it's not exactly evil, but it's just a necessary evil to create the, I don't know, the counterpart and the balance between the two.
That's a good one. Coach of Sciences?
He said it in a much more eloquent way than I was going to say it.
But how would you describe it?
I was going to say that makes you feel something. But, like, to me, a good villain isn't always a bad person.
Right.
And they make you kind of sometimes, like, oh, my goodness, I love you, though. Like, that's a good villain.
That's fair.
Or, like, you understand why they're doing something. You want to hate them, but you can't all the way.
I think that also, and I agree, and I think those are a lot of points. I think someone, I forget what actor it was, I was listening to an interview of it. He or she explained that a lot of times an antagonist or a villain is often the mirror, like the almost the bizarro version of the character, where one single thing happens where it's like a hero gets hurt by the world and says, I'm going to make sure that this never happens to anyone else. A villain is someone who says, the world hurt me, and now I'm going to make everyone else hurt and feel the same thing that I felt. So I think that's kind of a good thing. Mr. Smith, Quincy, did you want to add on to that?
I just want to just reiterate that it's a person that throughout whatever media that you're watching, whether it be TV or movie, you are, I guess I want to say, anticipating their downfall. Like, you are waiting for it. And the fact that you feel this way, even after the media is over, if you still are in the feelings of like, man, that person, I hate them so much, that's a good villain. When you think about it after the thing is done, you know, I know we're probably not going to bring it up, but Power, the son of Power, that man can't go anywhere.
Oh, I mean, like Tyreek. We can't stand Tyreek over here.
Right.
What you're talking about, so you can't speak for me on that.
I said fuck Tyreek.
Yeah, exactly how Brother X just said it. That's what I'm talking about right then and there.
You know. But that's a very true point. Like, you anticipate, like, you'll watch a show longer than you probably would have it just to see that villain fail or get their comeuppance, like some people like to say. So I think that's a really good touching point.
I love to see villains get their comeuppance.
Yes. Yes, that is a weird phrase, comeuppance. Where did that come from?
I don't know, but I like it.
Yeah, we'll have to figure the origin of that one day. Yeah. But with that being said, let's go around real quick. Everybody can kind of share briefly what are some notable villains, and then we can kind of fill in the gaps with some other ones that we may have not thought of. Because I know I have some names, but I want to hear you guys' thoughts. Mr. Smith, do you want to start?
So I could start, and I'm going to give two. I'm not going to give the obvious one because I'm going to hold that off in case you want to take that one at the end.
I have to think about it.
Long live the, and I'm going to end on that.
Carry on.
Got it. So the two that I think of that are really like ridiculous in different types of ways. The first one I'm going to start with comes from my hometown, the show The Wire, and the evil villain, I guess you could say, a person, Marlo Stanfield. That nigga was ruthless. And the fact that in that show, I think it was like I want to say it's season four, they killing people and putting them in the vacant houses so that the cops don't go into the vacant houses and just off anybody. Number one, that's genius. But number two, damn, that's crazy. But the second villain, who throughout the entire movie, I was waiting for his downfall, Hans Landa off of Inglourious Basterds. That man was ruthless. The fact that he was a Nazi that could speak German, Jewish, and French. And in the first scene, he literally obliterates an entire family of Jewish an entire Jewish family underneath the baseboard of a Frenchman and lets the last girl go. And just like the way that Hebrew, not Jewish, but the way that they kind of develop his character to where like every single time that you see him on camera, he does something else where you're just like, I am waiting for his downfall. And the fact that they carved a Nazi swastika in this man's forehead at the end of the movie, oh, it was great. I was like, if he doesn't die, I'll take that. I will take that.
That's fair. That's fair. Queen C, you got yours?
I do. I actually have four. So the first one is Cruella de Vil from 101 Dalmatians, because what the fuck did the puppies do? That's all I want to know. Like, you just want to make a coat out of these puppies. They ain't did nothing. They've been here all of 2 weeks just getting their spots, trying to live in the world. But I think just from her name alone, you knew she was going to be the villain. Literally, cruel devil, Cruella de Vil. Genius. Slow it down, I just hit you. Two of these I'm going to lump in together. And actually, I can lump all three of these in together, but one is just way worse than the others. And Black women, y'all going to feel me on these. Charles from Diary of a Mad Black Woman.
Yup.
Clean him. Bathe him. Feed him.
Stop blowing those bubbles. Mike from Why Did I Get Married? The first go around, not the second movie, because he made Sheila drive up the mountain.
Yeah.
That was so annoying.
That was evil.
That whole dinner scene was just ridiculous.
Oh, that was great.
And then I'm sticking with the Tyler Perry theme here. Last but not least, Michael Ealy's character in For Color Girls Only. I'm not even gonna say more.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Oh man. Dog, okay. Taz, you got any?
All right, so. Mine, just hear me out. Got to have an open mind. This is going to be a two-part.
Okay.
Dora and Boots. I don't fuck with them. They talk with everybody else in the whole goddamn series. But Swiper, like, every time, it's always he's swiping. He just wants to be friends. I said, he's just trying to shake your hand on, you know. But in all seriousness, my top four would be number one, Aku from Samurai Jack. Like,
okay.
He's a menace, but, like, a hilarious menace. Mojo Jojo from Powerpuff Girls. Still up there with like the humor of Aku, but still like a bumbling fool. From Luke Cage, the live series, Black Mariah.
Yeah, she was monster.
Like I couldn't stand them. And the last one, which is a stretch, the grandma from Encanto, I still don't like her to this day, in all seriousness.
It ain't no stress. Abuela is the villain. Don't nobody tell you otherwise. It ain't Bruno. It ain't the sister. It is that grandma. It's the abuela. The abuela's for the streets.
In La Calle.
Thank you. Coach of Scientists, you got anybody?
There's so many options you can go, but I'm going to go with two. I'm going to go with Miss Trunchbull from Matilda.
Yeah, man. Put you in the chokey.
She was just a mean ass principal. Oh, that what? Was child abuse.
Dog, she literally whipped a girl around by her pigtails threw her through the air like it was a shot put.
The way she jumped down from the thing from her balcony and then boom. It's great. I always wanted chocolates though.
Them chocolates were fire. I'm not gonna lie. Them chocolates were fire. Hold on, real quick. My question to the guests. Do you think Miss Trunchbull could beat Thanos in a fight? I mean, really think about it.
I mean, if the Hulk can't, she can't. That was a big bitch, but she ain't that big.
Is this Thanos with or without the rings? Out the stones, because that makes a difference. Like,
without the stones.
Yeah, she could probably take him without the stones. He got the stones, it's a wrap.
I don't know. No,
she got her weightlifting belt on and that shot put.
I don't know. The fact that even without the stones, Thanos whooped Hulk's ass with no problem. Like, he literally got, like, pieced up. So, I think she'll give him a run for his money, but I think he's still going to whoop her ass.
Okay, we're going to have to discuss that one day. Random matchups. All right, Coach of Scientists, what was your other villain?
C. Y'all made me forget. I had another one too.
After Mistrust Bowl, it was.
There was two more, and I forgot the second one. Give me a second.
Wasn't
the other one that I very much love? And some of y'all don't are not aware, and I'm gonna do that in my future streaming. But Pose in the category is Miss Electra from Pose is a very good villain. When she has a very good story arc throughout the whole entire all four seasons.
Okay.
So I think she's a very good option, but you gotta watch Pose to understand it. Like, I mean, she come full throttle villain in the beginning.
That's fair. All right, so I'm gonna take a different route with some of my favorite villains. I'm gonna go with a couple of TV ones. First and foremost, from Breaking Bad, Walter White.
He was on my list too.
He is a fucking villain. Like the fact that it's the Batman turn of phrase where it's like, you either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. He is the epitome of that quote. Going from trying to sell drugs to make fun, pay for his medical treatments and take care of his family to becoming a fucking drug kingpin. Phenomenal story writing, but you wanted to see him fail. I won't spoil what happens, but you wanted to see this man fail on multiple occasions. And some of the stuff he used to do to his running mate, what was the name of the boy? His second right-hand man. Like, oh, diabolical. And then, I don't know, for those listeners who may or may not watch, who are interested in serial killers, the show Dexter. Now, mind you, there's two ways I can go with it. One, Dexter is the villain in that show. He is an anti-hero, but by the end, he is a villain. But there is one particular serial killer that he goes after. So for those who don't know, in the show Dexter is a splatter analysis for the Miami PD. He's a serial killer who kills criminals who get away from the justice system. He's somewhat of a vigilante. So basically, there's one particular season where he's going up against this main villain called the Trinity Killer. Now, listeners, if you are squeamish, I need you to understand how crazy this dude was. He basically was Dexter in every single way, but older and had more experience. And through the entire season, Dexter's trying to get him caught up in a way so that he could kill him. But basically, they're playing mind games the entire season. And by the season's end, Dexter finally is able to get him and be able to kill him. But here's the crazy part. This is why he always stuck in my mind as an evil villain. The final episode of the season, Dexter goes back to his house where his wife, he's going home to his wife and his kids because he ended up having kids at this point. That's a whole nother story. And he goes to find his wife. He calls for his wife's name. And this is a really fucked up part. He goes and he tries to find his wife. He goes to the bathroom. His wife is dead in the bathtub in a pool of her own blood because the Trinity Killer slit her wrist. And his son, very reminiscent of what Dexter happened to him as a child, is sitting in a pool of the blood from his mother. When I tell you, I ain't never had a villain that made me stop watching the show for an entire week. Like, I was done. I was only a completionist is the only reason why I finished out the series. But he was so conniving and so cynical that it was like, yo, I can't do this. So those are two that stick out of my mind, but I think we got some other ones that I want to bring up. Mrs. Smith, can you pull up the list? And guess you can tell me your thoughts on these. So some other ones we have, okay, so we have Detective Harris. Does anybody remember who Detective Harris was?
Yup.
Yay! Jay! We're talking about Denzel's character in Training Day. Like, can anybody like speak to why he's such a great villain? Oh. Mrs. Smith?
Oh. Number one, he gamed the entire system, and the rookie that he took on the whole day, he taught him everything that he shouldn't do. You could tell he was crooked. And then the fact that he set him up at the end, well, the climax, not at the end, for that Mexican, I think it was the cartel.
Yes.
And the only reason he got out of it was because he defied or what Denzel had said and saved that little Mexican girl. And the fact that she was like, he was like, hey, did a cop save you today? Yeah. I was getting ready to get taken by some guys in his white cop. What did he look like? And that was the only reason he got out of that. But also just his words. Just the fact that this man just come out of nowhere. I'm really surgical with this bitch, Jake. How you want a dog? Open casket? Closed casket? That fool with the wheelchair? How you think he got there? And of course, the famous line that everybody knows. Ah, you motherfuckers.
Talk
you
about.
You gonna do this to me? Mm. You go, Jay, you go, King Kong ain't got shit on me. That's all.
Oh, man. Dog, my man was a villain. He had a, what was his shoddy, his side piece that he had?
Huff oh, you talking about, was it Eva Longoria?
No, not Eva Longoria. Eva Mendez? No, Eva Mendez? Is it Eva Mendez?
It was one of them.
Dog, fire. But we're not talking about that. Now, we also have the Armitage family from Get Out.
Yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
Did anybody want to talk about that? Because I can talk about it. I'm about to say. So, for the listeners, if you have not seen Get Out, it is a masterpiece. Please go see it. And if you want a good kick, bring some of your white friends.
It's funny.
They like to scream. Me and the Coach of Science will have to tell y'all about the story one day when we went to go see it in theaters. But needless to say, it is the family of the main Black character's girlfriend. So they're going on a trip for him to meet the family. I forget the play on, it's like Meet the Parents, where he basically goes there, it's all entire white family. He's worried about how they're going to view him. And then he gets there, and then they have a Black gardener and a Black maid working at the house. So normal. Fast forward through the movie, come to find out the whole family is basically, and this is a spoiler warning for those who have not seen Get Out. I don't know what you're missing out at this point. They basically are taking the brains of rich white people and putting them in the bodies of Black, putting them into Black bodies and basically putting all the Black people's subconscious into what's called the sunken place where Terry Crews resides. So we're not going, but we're not talking about him right now. But that it's just, they were so evil. And the way that I tell you, the most psychotic thing I saw the entire movie, this little white girl was sitting on her bed after she had sold her boyfriend off, the first of multiple dudes that she had done this to, is sitting looking at profile pictures of other Black men. She got her milk with a fucking striped bendy straw and got her bowl of cereal, no milk, eating the cereal dry by herself. That is the most diabolical thing she did the entire movie.
I just want to let y'all know that this really bothers Brother X.
Yes.
Okay? Because I don't like milk. I eat cereal like it's candy. Brother X refers to me as a terrorist.
Because she got terrorist taste buds.
Because I don't like milk in my cereal.
It don't make no sense to me.
But I don't eat it like that crazy broad. I get out.
No.
There's a difference.
It had me looking side-eyed at the Culture Scientist for like 2.5 seconds while we were in the theater. But we're not talking about that. Does anybody else have thoughts on them? Yes, Mr. Smith?
At first glance of the movie, like, you know, obviously the daughter is like, okay, that's the most evil. But that mama, man. Lakeith Stanfield's character, the fact that he snapped out of it, did she retranced him? And he was just like, I'm sorry, guys. I had this outburst. I'm going to retire to my chambers. I'm like, yo, white women are the devil.
Dog, when she told that boy to sink.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, like I felt a pit in my stomach of how bad I felt for that boy. Because you saw him tear up about as a kid. That flashback is like an underrated scene in that movie. All right. Let's go ahead and see him through these. We got Calvin Candy and Steven from Django Unchained. We're going to go to Candyland. And Steven, oh, you want me to treat him like the color folk? No, treat him like Steven. I'm like, dog, come on. Dog. I think for me, for this, and to Leonardo DiCaprio's credit, the fact that he played it so well that you just like, you could tell like he's charming in a very like malicious and evil way. But what sold it, and I'm sure you all know this, is that scene with the fucking skull where he slams it on the table and breaks it. And he actually in the movie, and everybody knows, like he actually cut his hand and takes the blood from his hand. I don't know how Kerry Washington kept in character, but he smeared it across her face. Dog. I think she was more in shock that his hand was cut. And then when he did it, dog, I'm like, nope, cut. We done. Nope, I'm done. coming out the movie. This is like, kill me off. I'm done. I ain't doing this. We ain't doing a double take. Nope. Can't have it. It was.
I'm still trying to figure out, as a person that's shooting the movie, like those that are in the, you know, the producers and the cameraman, how did y'all look at that scene and be like, wait, that wasn't in the script? And then the person back's like, just keep rolling.
Oh, it was Quentin Tarantino. You know he loves blood and gore.
You know, touché.
Yeah. His love of blood and gore is almost rivaled by his desire to put the N-word in his movies.
This is true. This is definitely true.
We don't have to talk about that one day, but who?
I think he likes to, just in general, real quick on that, I think he likes to do it to frustrate others.
I can understand
that. To make others more uncomfortable. That is what I think he likes to do, to be honest.
That's a fair take. Now, we could talk about him, but the real villain, Mr. Smith, you want to talk about your boy Steven, aka Uncle Ruckus's ancestor?
Dog. Samuel L. Jackson played the hell out of Steven. And the fact that he said, like, you know, it starts off when he said, oh no, Mr. Candy, I understand you, but who is that nag on the horse? And just how he went through.
You knew what type of energy he was on.
But then the fact that when Django was captured after the big shootout, and he said, and he just sat there, he just like, everybody in the family just want to snip your nuts. Just snip your nuts. And I said, no, let's give them to the Lindicky family, because they're going to treat them all. They said, you know what? That's a good idea. The fact that as a Black person, you are doing other Black people wrong and saying, rather than castrate you, which is horrible in itself, I'm going to send you to a place where you will be there for the rest of your life. And if you even slow up, they kill you. Yeah, he was an ass. And the fact that he got busted in his kneecaps before Django walked out.
Oh, like, you motherfucker. I'ma kill you. I'ma kill you.
It is not a Samuel Jackson movie if he does not use the word motherfucker in the movie.
Oh man, yes. So good. Let's see. Thanos, do we really gotta explain Thanos? He's just that dude. My man pulled up, had his own origin story movie, beat all the superheroes we just spent the past 10 years falling in love with. Two-piece, like, he domed up the Hulk. It was like, yeah, go ahead and sit this one out, little fella. And it was half the universe, gone.
I'm still under shock the fact that Hulk had him for a second, and you know it's bad when his apprentice said, let him have some fun, he's earned it. I'm like, oh no. And all of a sudden,
this ain't going the way that you think it is. like you fighting him, it was like, yeah, I got him. And then my man just starts smiling in the middle of the fight. When the man started smiling in the middle of a fight, you know you're in trouble.
And that was an 8-piece spicy with the sweet heat sauce on the side. Like,
he gave me a family pack. Dog.
Now Hulk was like, I'm in danger. Just know. <It's a wrap.
laughs> So you got Thanos. Okay. One of my other favorite movie villains, the Joker from The Dark Knight. Heath Ledger's best performance ever.
Yeah.
Like, his monologues, I think that's what I loved so much about his performance. His monologues, he would tell you everything that was wrong with society and just break it down to you such a way. And he was like, it's just chaos. All it needs is a little push. And he literally told you what he was going to do, did it. And then when it was time for him to be put in jail, he was like, I know, I did exactly what I wanted to do. And then created another villain because of that. That is a certain level of villainy that is hard to match. Like, you were so good, you caused someone else to turn bad. Phenomenal.
That pencil scene will forever be the shock value of that movie, where he just said, watch me make a pencil disappear. Bah! I said, okay, with this movie's going there.
White in the coffin.
Enough from the clown.
I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the boy, the legend himself. The two-timer himself, the evilest, long live the king himself, Scar from Lion King. When you kill you set your brother up to get destroyed by the ops, drop him off into a pack of wildebeest, and then on top of that, tell his son to run away, and then you take his wife and all his other concubines? Dog. Top tier villain, from like how he spun the story. Oh man, yeah.
I again, you know that that's one of the most top tier villains of all time. When people that are our age, that movie came out in what, like 94, 95? Yeah. People still cannot watch that scene without crying. Because it's like, not your brother. You really did kill your brother, exiled your nephew, and then took your sister-in-law?
Yeah. What? Sounds like some real Alabama stuff, man. Sounds like some consummating was happening. See what I did there? Yeah, right, I used it correctly.
Ha ha! All right, hey, yo, who does Scar impregnate in like the sequels? Because like he ended up having kids.
So I think what is explained is that, you know, that Nala and Simba were related, right? So if you didn't know this, I don't know how you didn't, because there's one king lion and he has the whole, I forget the technical term.
I mean, they be screwing all of them.
He screws all the female.
He got a gaggle of bitches.
Yes, he has all the bitches. He's Mr. So he had sex with one of those lions. So when Scar became the leader
relations, of- it's a children's show.
They was fucking. This is an adult podcast.
It's a children's movie, yet you killed your brother, exiled your nephew, and then took your sister-in-law as your new wife. Yeah, all right.
They don't know. They wasn't in the trenches, man. They don't know about how fucked up Disney movies really are. Right. We may have to talk about that one day. But, oh, man. Now, Quincy, you got something?
Yeah, I feel like there's one that should be on the list that was missed. Taking it back to the 90s again, Doe from Seven. Because you chopped that man's pregnant wife's head off and stuck it in a box and gave it to him?
Oh, yeah. What's in the box? Dog.
That's top tier.
That man hurt. I'll do that. Say that one. Obviously, we got to talk about Killmonger. He was anti-hero slash villain, which, let's be very clear, he was not right. Lupita's character was right. God rest his soul, Chadwick Boseman, Black Panther, should have listened to her before we had to deal with Killmonger. But we're not having that conversation today.
Nope.
You got him.
Oh.
If you're listening, you know who you are. I'm sorry?
Oh, Megabyte from Reboot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Classic. Oh. Classic.
Not Taz. You was in the trenches when you bring that up. Oh, a lot of people don't know about that movie.
Oh, man. Phenomenal.
Well, he was a terror, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to say this last one, because only because of Taz Will's joke, and I hope he says it on air. But just for y'all.
And you know who you are. I know where you're going with this. You know who you are.
Ursula from The Little Mermaid was a little scary when it came to the final. So, you know, she was up there. I will say that.
Y'all gonna leave Tamala Mann alone.
I'm not, you talking about Suge Knight?
I'm not gonna say it. Nope.
Listeners, just know.
It'll be just our luck. Lizzo is listening and we find out she got COVID.
That is terrible.
You're terrible, man.
That is terrible.
Technically, did you not just say it, though?
Did I say what?
Never mind.
Just exactly. But listeners, let us know in the comments or on social media. We'll probably put up a poll or a questionnaire of, like, what are some of your favorite villains? Definitely let us know if we miss any good ones. Granted, there are so many villains. We could go on for days. These are just some ones that came to us through our discussion and as of recent memory. But if you think of some ones that we've said that you think aren't really villains, let us know. But you can always, let's say this. Continue to find shows that are compelling that cause you to really think, because those are some of the best ones. I think another good one was Moriarty from Sherlock. He's another great villain. But just understand that if you feel something when a villain is on screen or a character is on screen, I know who we forgot. Fucking Plot from from Bones. I will get on my soapbox about Plot from Bones another day.
Hold on, no, I have to say this. Okay, one of my favorite all-time shows is Bones, okay?
Tell the listeners if they're not familiar.
And Bones is basically about this anthropologist who teams up with the FBI and they solve crimes, and then they, of course, it's usually the typical man and woman and they end up falling in love. But like, she probably is on the spectrum to some level. But they have to, one of the serial killers' name is Plot, And he is a genius serial killer because he writes codes on bone. I mean, he be erasing shit out of screens, and he's very dangerous. He
killed people. Man changed his whole nationality.
Yeah, he made himself African to get himself out of going to prison. It was very good. He's evil, a lot happened to the point where he's now on Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist on Hulu. He plays the brother of Zoe on this show. A nice man, a friendly man,
but
a nice man.
Fuck Palant.
And every time I'm watching this show,
he on the same level as Tyreek.
On the screen, Brother X comes in the room and says, "Fuck Palant."
He killed my nigga Sweets.
Every time he is on the show.
He killed my nigga Sweets. I need retribution for my nigga Sweets.
I agree with you.
True.
But because why? He went to go be a director for some of the good shows we watch now.
I don't care. He killed my nigga Sweets.
We couldn't do both. So they had to kill him off.
That's some bullshit. Man, Erisu, you got done dirty too.
On another note, though, if you ever want to watch Bones, Bones is a great show. Go watch Bones.
Yes. But getting back to after our last tangent.
They have a lot of good evil people, yes, villains.
Very much so. But thank you, Taz. You had Red Skull from the X-Men and the Captain America movie season, another good one. But yes, listeners, continue to find good shows that are compelling and engage you, because you always like to enjoy the fantasy and be able to get the escape from reality in some cases. And just understand that if a villain makes you feel something or you hate a villain, that means you're doing a good job. Don't be like some racist pricks for the new Obi-Wan Kenobi show, where you're trying to give this black woman headaches and deeming her racist things. Respect that it is a good character and just let it be. But if you want to let us know your thoughts and want to share everything else that we talked about earlier, you can always contact us at our Twitter at TheTNTPod123. Check us out on Truth and Transparency Pod on Instagram, The Truth and Transparency Podcast on Facebook, and email us any of your thoughts or things that we may have missed to our email at TruthandTransparencyPod123@gmail.com. And for the culture scientists, for Taz, for Queen C, for Mr. Smith and myself, if this podcast gets no bigger than what it is right now, they are forever grateful. We are forever grateful. And until next time, peace.
Long live the king. How do you know, man?